Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard? Not billiard. What? Not the billiards. It was... Come on, everybody. What? Come on. We call it the place to
the
be.
The place to be, yes.
It's the place to be. Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can...
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the 50th episode of the Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and we are very thrilled to be with you tonight, 50 episodes in. Who would have thought when we started this whole thing back in February we'd ever make it this far? And of course, my PIC is also on the line, the man whose age now matches our number of episodes, and that is, of course, Scott Criscolo. Scott, how you doing?
Actually, that's a lot less than I thought you would say.
whose age is now half of the number of episodes.
Oh, that's too... Nah, I set you up for that. Doesn't count. Good evening, Mr. Rosero. Always good to talk to you, sir. Welcome, everyone, to the iconic 50th episode, L in Roman numerals. The L episode of the Place to Be podcast.
Who would have thought we got a special episode? I would have thought back on episode 2 during our 75-hour boring baseball preview that we wouldn't be here today still.
Well, we also did that till 1:45 in the morning. So yeah, on a Saturday night, I think we both went out drinking that night. So I think we kind of pushed the limit to ourselves early on. But I tell you, we have definitely fallen into a groove these last, 6 months at this point. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I thank my PIC, and we've done a great job, I think. And again, it's not without the support of our wonderful PTB Nation, who have been with us from the beginning, including the winner of our contest. And we'll talk about him, our good friend Todd Weber, a little bit later on in the program. But we would not have a 50th episode for you without a wonderful guest joining us tonight. So why don't we get him on now?
Of course. The guest joining us is the man who writes a bloody good time column on 411 Mania. He also does a lot of movie reviews there and is a keystone member of the Blog of Doom that we always reference on the show. And that is our good friend, Joseph Lee.
Hey, good.
Hey, Joseph. How you doing tonight? I figured I'd get a little horror music for you, though we're a little bit away from Halloween. So.
I totally forgot about the music playing. I was going to start talking anyway.
That's all right.
So, don't worry about it.
Yeah, thanks for joining us here tonight, of course. We're looking forward to having you on for a while. And we figured with the summer movie season kind of starting to wind down a little bit, it would be a good time to go ahead and bring you on. So what we wanted to do first before we really get started talking about movies is kind of give us a background on you, how you got into doing this for 411, how you got hooked up there, and you know, just plug yourself a little bit for us.
Well, it's nothing special to how I got on there. They had the ad asking for people to submit a review, so I did, and they liked it, and I started doing reviews. Then I got the idea to do the column, asked them about it, to get your permission, and I've been doing that for about 4 years now.
Cool.
Do you remember what your first review was? Do you remember what you reviewed to get on the, as your, like, test piece? Do you remember what you reviewed?
The Halloween remake.
Ah, the remake. The Rob Zombie remake. I actually haven't seen that yet. I'm looking forward to this evening as well because you are also just as big a horror movie fan as I am, so I'm looking forward to your opinions on some things. That I've always wanted to ask diehard horror movie fans like myself. So looking forward to picking your mind on some things. But have you seen the site itself kind of evolve? You know, 411 is one of the sites that many people have latched onto, including Justin and myself, and we talk about it often. Do you think your writing has changed as well as the site has changed over this 4 years?
As far as the site goes, we have a comments section now. That's one of the big changes we got. Whether that's for better or worse, I'll leave up to you.
Well, yeah, most common sites across the internet are generally not a positive thing.
Yeah.
And as far as my writing style, I'm more in depth with my writing now, and I have more of my own personality in it. Before, I can admit that I was just I was really stiff and didn't really put myself into my writing, and it showed, but now I think I'm better.
Yeah, I mean, definitely from the stuff I've read that you post on the blog and plug through there, I'd say you've definitely come, you know, quite a bit since you started. And also a positive with you and your writing is you seem very open to constructive criticism. I've noticed a lot of times on the blog you'll post something and ask for that feedback and then, you know, use it towards your future articles. So that's definitely a good step for someone like you who's really trying to gain a foothold in internet blogging and writing. So.
Yeah, definitely constructive criticism is what I appreciate.
Yes, yes. Don't we all? Except for Scott. He gets a lot of the unconstructive criticism, unfortunately.
It's the age.
All right, so, Joseph, in your opinion, when does the summer movie season really kick off? Is it May, June? You know, what was the first movie this year where you said, okay, we're underway now?
It's probably May for me because that's always when they tried out the first really big blockbuster. Like this time it was Thor. And the years before that, they've saved it for the Spider-Man movies and all those. Basically, a superhero movie almost always kicks off the summer these days.
And now, have you, did you see Thor?
Oh, yeah, I saw Thor.
Any thoughts, or?
I wanted to like it a lot more than I did. I did enjoy it, but I don't know, I just felt it was kind of hokey at times.
I'm not sure. Scott, did you see it, or?
I didn't see Thor yet. I saw some of the, we'll get to them as we get along, but I did see the other superhero movies. I did not get a chance to see Thor yet. But I've heard that it was good, but then the other superhero movies that have come after, people have liked better. There's a friend I have, also a coworker in another facility in the city I work in, who is a diehard Thor fan. Thor is his favorite comic book character, and even he said that the other superhero movies were better this year than that was. So I think they thought the expectations. Plus, to be honest with you, I've never been a big Natalie Portman fan, and I wasn't crazy about her being in it. So I'm kind of shying away from it. But I'll probably see it I'll probably get it on DVD or watch it on Netflix. But seeing her in it kind of, I don't know, turned me off on the movie a little bit. So I didn't jump to go see it like I did Green Lantern or Cap. But
the one Triple H was supposed to be in? Was that Thor? Well, not supposed to be, that the rumor a few years ago, wasn't it? Was that Thor or was that? I know it was one with Conan.
I think it was Thor.
Thor, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, there was rumors it was supposed to be him. It was supposed to be him to be Thor. But that was like two directors ago, I think.
So
I think
Scott would have seen that opening night in that case, then.
Of course. I would have slept outside.
just like you did The Chaperone.
I did. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to this next movie, too.
All right, Joe. So it looks like the next big movie that came out after that was Bridesmaids, kind of the first big comedy of the summer. Did you catch that one?
I did see that one. I saw that one the week it came out.
Yeah, I saw that as well, and I was actually pretty surprised, pleasantly surprised. I really liked it. Did you enjoy it as well?
It was I thought it was really funny, and I thought the trailers did not do that movie justice at all.
No, definitely not.
The trailers I didn't see it.
It just made it look like the dumbest comedy.
Yeah, and it was cool to see. I liked it because it had new people, new faces. You know, a lot of times with those movies, as funny as some of those actors are, you kind of say, all right, you know, I've seen them in the style quite a bit. So it's kind of cool to see, not just being female version, but to see some different actresses, you know, kind of get the chance to play that kind of role. So I definitely laughed a lot. You know, the movie we'll get to in a minute, The Hangover 2, you know, I like that a lot too, but I don't know. I have to see them both again. Bridesmaids, I think, may have actually been a little bit better. It was pretty funny.
I don't normally enjoy Kristen Wiig, but she was pretty good in that one.
Yeah, they definitely played to her strengths in that movie, I thought. You know, she wasn't too over the top, and she kind of stayed within the role, which was good. So, all right, so coming off Bridesmaids, what would you consider was kind of the next big hot movie that came out at that point?
I'm trying to think, because there was a little period there where I didn't see movies for a while, but I think it was probably Pirates or The Hangover, one of the two. I didn't see either one of those.
It looks like Pirates came out before Hangover. I did not see Pirates. Scott, you?
I did not see Pirates either. I saw the first three. I liked all three of them. I've always been a fan of Johnny Depp in comedy roles. His dramatic roles kind of annoy me, but I like him in comedies, but I didn't get a chance to see that one. Hangover 2, I didn't see because I didn't see the first one. I'm probably one of the six on the planet that haven't seen it yet. But I remember a few people, including my mother, who loved the first one. And I think the opinions I heard of it were that the first one was good because no one expected it to be anything. and everyone ended up loving it. And this one, people were expecting the first one again, and this time it was good, but not quite at the level of the first one. In fact, one criticism I heard of the second one was the humor in it was very mean. Like, the first one was funny and a little, you know, there were some nice jibes in it, I guess, but the second one, apparently it got really nasty and it was more mean-spirited than anything else. But that's what I heard. But the main thing I heard was it wasn't as funny as the first one.
I liked the first one a lot, obviously. I've seen it a bunch of times now. And like you said, I didn't have high expectations going in. The second one was kind of reversed for me. I had low expectations because a few people had seen it that kind of give me a review were kind of saying, oh, you know, I was a little disappointed in it. It wasn't as funny because I think they went in maybe too high expectations. So I was kind of going in ready to be disappointed, and I ended up really enjoying it. You know, Zach Galifianakis just plays that role so well, and he really is the linchpin of the movie. But Bradley Cooper is always good. It wasn't as good as the first one, but it was definitely very funny.
You guys are forgetting the other big movie that came out in May. That would be Priest.
That movie, I did not see. Did you see that one, Joseph?
I didn't. I was just making a joke because of how awful it looked.
Okay. Oh. I was kind of letting you go because I didn't know if you really liked it before I said anything.
No, I didn't see it. I thought you were going to say Kung Fu Panda 2, because I know that came out in May also. But
I did see that one, actually. I went and saw the Panda movie over the Priest, whatever the hell Priest. That looked like.
I think it was a comic. Was it a comic book adaptation? It seems like it was.
I have no idea.
I think it was actually a one of those Japanese graphic novels kind of things. I think it was like Cowboy Bebop, one of those kind of things. And I don't know anything about it, but I know I think that's where it came from. But a couple people told me that Kung Fu Panda 2 was actually pretty funny. I didn't see it, but
the only Bebop I know is from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's one everybody remembers.
All right, so from there, June kicked in, and the first big one there, of course, was X-Men. I'm going to let you guys probably run with these next two, because I only saw, I think, one other one this summer, and it's none of these coming up. So, Joseph, I guess we'll kind of take the lead on that. Did you catch this X-Men First Class?
I did see X-Men. That was really good. It's probably one of my favorite movies that came out this whole summer, actually.
Yeah, I know that did get pretty good reviews. Now, this is a prequel, right?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't see it, but the story is this was when both Xavier and Magneto were kids. They were the first class of mutants in the 60s, and I didn't see it. I've never been a huge X-Men fan, but I have seen – I saw the first three. I didn't see this one, but I heard it was – I agree with Joseph. I heard it was actually one of the best movies of the summer. It was very well acted, and they kind of like the – from what I've heard, the historical part of it was very cool with Kennedy as president and the whole – you know, they thought it was very – a lot of people who are diehard X-Men fans told me that they did enjoy it very much, that it was one of the better movies of the summer. So I'll probably have to see – when it comes on DVD, I'm going to have to see it. But yeah, it definitely surprised a lot of people that it was as good as it was.
I think it was one of the better X-Men movies. Of course, I liked Wolverine, so my opinion might not be the best in this series.
I think everybody's a Wolverine fan. You mean the movie or the character?
I mean the movie.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the movie, but I am a big Wolverine fan. Now, Justin, I'm going to take this next one because the next one that came out the following week, I hate to admit this, but I'm going to stick myself out there just because, you know, for comedy purposes, I did see this. I saw it with my goddaughter, and that is Judy Moody in the Not Bummer Summer. All right. I did see it. I didn't see it alone. I also did see the Tooth Fairy with her. But I took her to see, because nobody wanted to see X-Men, and I also wanted to see Thor, and I was with my friend and their daughter, and we were all going to go to the movies, and nobody wanted to see anything I wanted to see, which was Thor and X-Men. So we decided to go with what she wanted to see, and she wanted to see Judy Moody in the Not Bummer Summer, which I got to be honest with you was actually very entertaining.
How was Urkel?
He was good. At first, it didn't hit me, but he was actually he was funny.
Yeah,
it was funny. And I'm a big Heather Graham fan. She's hot as hell, so I had no problem with her. But it was cute. It was a good movie. You know, kids seemed to get into it. My goddaughter liked it, so I was happy with it. You know, and I went to a matinee, so I didn't have to pay full price. But it was cute. It was a cute kid's defense. Movie. Yeah, it was a cute movie. She was, and again, Heather Graham and Urkel, good enough for me. So.
So from there was Super 8. Either of you guys check that one out?
Super 8 was really good.
Tell us a little bit about it, Joseph.
Yeah, because I didn't see it either.
Do you mean like what, how good it was, or what was it about, or what?
Yeah, a little bit of both. This is a synopsis, maybe without really spoiling, and then yeah, what you thought of it.
Basically, these kids are filming a movie about zombies, and then a train wrecks, and the train is where they've been holding. I can't remember if it was an actual alien or just parts of an alien ship, but it was one of the two. And so the whole movie is about the aliens not really taking over the town, but people are going missing and weird stuff's happening, and the kids are going to save the day. It's like, it's been compared to the Spielberg movies, and it definitely feels like one.
I heard that it sort of matched up with kind of Cloverfield, but not as creepy, but kind of that same dynamic. Did you feel that or no?
I didn't feel that it matched up with Cloverfield at all. I think the alien probably maybe looked like it, but mostly it felt more like an 80s movie.
I might have to see that now, just because you said it was an 80s movie. Kind of goes along with me. the next movie that came out was one of my favorite movie of the summer until last Friday, and that was Green Lantern. I have a friend, just like I have a friend who's a diehard Thor fan, I have a friend who's a diehard Green Lantern fan. He has a Hal Jordan jacket, he's got all the t-shirts, and he actually owns a lantern. I thought this movie was great, and I remember a lot of people saying that when it was announced that Ryan Reynolds was the was going to play Hal Jordan, that everyone was like, oh, Jesus, this is going to suck. It's going to be, you know, Van Wilder jokes.
A lot of people did think it sucked.
As Green Lantern. I know people that were not blown away by it, but didn't think it was that bad. I know people who thought it was better than Thor. Did you see it? Did you think it was better than Thor?
I don't think it was better than Thor, but I thought it was a lot better than people were saying it was. Mm-hmm. It had, like, I don't even remember, like a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes or something close to that number.
I like Ryan Reynolds. I think he's pretty funny, but I think it's because I'm big fan of Just Friends, and he's really good in that. So I think I just kind of give him a lifetime pass. I thought Van Wilder was all right, too. Joseph, you'll quickly learn. I have pretty awful taste in movies, probably. I like a lot of the stupid comedies, and that's pretty much the extent of it. I'm getting into some dramas here and there, but a lot of the stuff I just... I'm an HBO guy with a lot of these things.
I thought Ryan Reynolds actually wasn't bad in it. It could have been a lot worse with other people, but and I like I think Van Wilder's a great movie. I think was that Waiting? I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that wasn't bad either. But you know who I think is very underrated, and it's actually in those types of movies, is Justin Long. I don't know how you guys feel about him. I actually think he's pretty funny, that guy. He I don't know if either of you saw Zach and Mary Make a Porno, but he stole that movie with his gay porn star stuff. And
with Superman.
Yes. But... Yeah, they were really funny. Well, he was anyway. I don't know. I think he's underrated as someone that's kind of often overlooked. He seems like he's always in a secondary role, but I thought he's a pretty funny comedic guy.
I like him in Waiting. I can't remember if I've seen him in other things, but no, I've never had a problem with
him. He was in Dodgeball and a few other things.
That's right. He was in Dodgeball, and I like that too. So yeah, no, I thought he's. I think he's pretty good. But I thought Mark Strong's character as role as Sinestro was very good. I think Ryan Reynolds had a good cast around him in that to make that better, so he didn't have to try and carry. Because if he had to try and carry it by himself, I think it would have bombed horrifically. I don't think it did. I think it was as good as it probably was going to be. But you know, the one thing about comic, and you know, Joseph, back me up on this if you agree or disagree. I feel that you're going to get a natural audience with comic book movies because everyone's going to think they're cool and go anyway. Do you think that a lot of these movies try to spike the audience early because they feel that after a while it'll start to tail off once word of mouth comes out, whether it's good or bad? Do you think they know that they're going to get a good spike at the beginning and kind of carry it while it's in theaters?
I'm not sure. They put a lot of advertising in, so that might be what you mean there.
Well, I mean, comic book movies obviously get a very high audience base because obviously, same thing with remakes. You know, I remember a lot of people, believe it or not, looking forward to the second Clash of the Titans, and then ended up realizing it was a totally different movie than the original was. But I don't know, it just seems like the superhero movies kind of get that built in audience because, you know, same thing with Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and that kind of thing, and then it just seems like they once the word of mouth comes out that the movie's not as good, then it starts to tail off. Like it seemed like Green Lantern got off to a great start and then kind of warbled down the stretch. And then obviously when we get to my favorite movie of the summer, which came out a couple weeks ago, I think it kind of like blew people away after that. But the next movie after this, now, Joseph, you have to tell me if you've actually seen this, because I know of people that did see it and actually thought it was very funny, and that is Mr. Popper's Penguins. Did you see Mr. Popper's Penguins?
I did not.
Okay. Justin, I know you didn't, so.
No, I haven't. But, I mean, Jim Carrey, you know, this is kind of right in his wheelhouse, kind of a family comedy, a little goofy, a little out there, but, you know, he seems to make those things work, and even if it doesn't, he still gets paid, so.
Mm. That's true. And I've heard that it's actually not that. And Carlo Gugino is pretty hot, so anytime you can stick at least one hot chick in it, usually you'll get a decent audience in the beginning. So after that was another movie that actually I've heard from people has been lauded as very good, and that's Bad Teacher. I'm a big Cameron Diaz fan. Did you see that, Joseph?
I didn't see that one either, actually.
No.
I wanted to, but I didn't, just never got around to it.
Yeah, that was another one I wanted to see, too, and I didn't get a chance. I like, you know, as many people on the Place to Be Nation or Place to Be message board know, I'm a big Justin Timberlake fan. I just think he's really talented. I really enjoy watching him, you know, just kind of do his thing. I'm not saying he's a great actor, but I just kind of like the way he performs. I think he looks like a cool dude, too. It looks like he's out of his element in this movie, and Jason Segel's pretty good, too. So this is definitely something I'll probably become an HBO mainstay in my collection.
Kind of like Beer Fest.
Yes.
Which I seem to see every time I come visit you.
That and what's the other one I have? Oh, it's Complicated. I became somehow inexplicably hooked on when I was on HBO.
You make fun of my age, and you're getting hooked on a movie that has Meryl Streep in it.
Hey, and you're giving me funny.
Crap. Yes, Alec Baldwin is funny, but...
It's funny.
But speaking of Justin Timberlake, one movie that I saw on my cruise, we were kind of chilling out in the room just before dinner, and I was kind of just hanging out. And one of the channels, they kind of like replay movies over and over again. And one of them was The Social Network.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you something. If I knew, I felt bad for the guy who started Napster. Was it Sean?
Sean Parker.
Sean Parker. But if Justin Timberlake portrayed Sean Parker the way the real Sean Parker was, then I'm glad that he lost Napster, because the guy was a douchebag. But you know, Justin Timberlake...
He's pretty much a cokehead. I mean, that was pretty
Yeah, he's a cokehead and an asshole. I kind of felt bad for the guy who was... what's his name? Feiderberg's, or whatever his name is, friend there. Not Alberto. What the hell is his name? I can't think of the other guy's name. The one who ended up getting screwed in the end.
Yeah,
I kind of
felt
bad. I kind of felt bad for him. But Justin Timberlake, actually... The reason I said that was because I thought he played a great Sean Parker in that movie.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Did a good job playing a scumbag asshole.
Of course, he's always good when he's on SNL as well. So
yes, yeah. Justin Timberlake knew how to find a good niche in his career. He kind of he was one who jumped out of the NSYNC trap of being a pretty boy sissy and actually is actually not a bad guy. And I've heard Friends with Benefits is actually pretty funny. So also coming out the week of Bad Teacher was Cars 2. Did you see Cars 2, Joseph?
I saw Cars 2.
What'd you think? Did you like? Was it as good as the first one?
I didn't think the first one was any good.
Oh, really?
But the second one was it was okay.
Yeah. I know you didn't see Cars 2, Justin. So.
I haven't seen either.
The second one revolves around the Larry the Cable Guy character, and I don't like Larry the Cable Guy, so it was really hard to get into a movie where you dislike the main character so much.
Ah. You know, he does kind of... I go back and forth with him myself. But I didn't see the second one either. I think my goddaughter did see that one without me, fortunately. But she thought it was funny. She likes the main car there, Owen Wilson's car. This next movie that came out as we start July, I didn't see it, but to me it seems like a kind of knockoff of, maybe it's not, but it kind of seemed like a knockoff of Forrest Gump, and that was this Larry Crown. With Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts. Did you see this, Joseph?
No.
I didn't see it either. So I don't know. To me, it seemed like a...
It seemed like it got poor reviews. I think.
Yeah, it seemed like it didn't do very well. The trailers made it seem like a...
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump knockoff, and nothing can ever match that. That was it's one of my favorite movies, Forrest Gump. I'm going to skip Monte Carlo, because I know none of us probably saw it. Joseph, I'm assuming you didn't see Monte Carlo?
No.
No, I didn't think you did, and I know Justin didn't. Monte Carlo has Selena Gomez of Wizards of Waverly Place fame, so we'll skip that one because I know none of us saw that one. Here's one that I didn't see, and I'm assuming you probably did, Joseph, and that's Transformers Dark of the Moon. Did you see that?
I did see that one.
What'd you think?
I didn't expect to go see it, but I was talked into it and ended up watching it.
I don't know.
It wasn't as bad as the second one. I don't think they would have to have tried very hard to be that bad. But it was the last like action sequence in the city or whatever, that's really good, but the first 45 minutes are just more dumb comedy and stuff, so if you shaved off the beginning, you have a decent action movie, but with it it's just average.
Yeah, I've only seen the first one so far, which, I, you know, like you said, the comedy part was but the action was good. I have not seen the second or third yet, which is funny, because I was a huge Transformers fan growing up. That was my main kind of cartoon-slash-action figure outside of wrestling, so. But I don't know, I guess I just heard so many bad things about the second one, and then it's just, as time goes by, I just haven't made time to watch it yet, but. Mm-hmm. So now, also coming out recently within the last couple of weeks, is a movie I do really want to see, and I've heard it's actually really funny, and that's Horrible Bosses. I think you said you saw that, right, Joseph?
Yes, I did see that.
And that was funny? You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I like all three of those, you know, main guys. Charlie Day is really funny, and so is Bateman and Sudeikis. Sudeikis has really been on a roll this year, I thought. He was pretty good in Hall Pass and another HBO movie that's been on a lot that I've seen a bunch of times. I was like Going the Distance. That also has Justin Long and Drew Barrymore. But Charlie Day and Sudeikis are in that as well, and they're both pretty funny. So,
when I saw that trailer, I thought of you immediately. Horrible Bosses. That movie seemed right up your alley. And it's got Jennifer Aniston in it. So
yeah, and she plays against her usual role, right? Joseph, she plays kind of like a cold bitch in this one, right?
Well, there was something like that. More like she's like a sex addict, sort of. She's constantly trying to get Charlie Day to sleep with her. It's actually pretty funny and uncomfortable.
I definitely got to check that out at some point. I'm probably not going to catch it in the theater, unfortunately, but it'll be an immediate Netflix disc. So.
The next one that came out, I didn't see this because this doesn't seem like my kind of movie, is One Day, Anne Hathaway, Jim Sturgis. Did you see that, Joseph?
I've never even heard of that until just now, actually.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Yeah, I think it's an indie. I think it was an indie film. I think it was like one of those Anne Hathaway does a favor for somebody. Came out the same week that Horrible Bosses did. The next one that came out also that week, I didn't see, but to me it seems like Paul Bart Blart Mall Cop in a Zoo, and that zookeeper, Kevin James, did you see that, Joseph?
You couldn't pay me to watch that movie.
Okay, I didn't think so. I don't think, Justin, even that's right up your alley, this movie.
You know, people shit on Kevin James, but, you know, he makes money, he does his thing, and I think there's a niche for those kind of movies, the family movies, and yeah, of course it's not any kind of Oscar winner, but I did see Paul Blart via Netflix. I have not seen Zookeeper, and I don't know if I will, but I thought Paul Blart was actually not too bad for what it was meant to be.
Now, July 15th, that was the day before my cruise, so I didn't get a chance to see either of these movies. But obviously, the biggest Friday of the summer in terms of movie releases, and that was, of course, the final chapter of the legacy that is Harry Potter. I'm sure, of course, my PIC's wife jumped all over that one.
Yes,
Harry Potter and Harry Potter and the Death. I haven't seen one of the movies since the third one, The Prisoner of Azkaban. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Joseph, did you see that? Are you into the Harry Potter movies?
I'm into the books and the movies.
Okay. Did you like this? Did you think it was a fitting end? I didn't see it, so.
It's probably my favorite movie right now.
Because oh, okay.
Out of all of them I've seen. It's just an epic end for the franchise. If you like the movies and the books, then you're going to like this one. If you don't, then you probably should be watching it anyway.
Now, Justin, I have to give you props. This is one sci-fi thing that you've actually seen from beginning to end, right? You've seen all of them.
I don't think I've seen, like, the first two. She kind of watched those alone. And then since three, I've been, I don't say dragged. I've gone along to see them. But I thought this was actually really good. I mean, for me, I've never read any of the books. So I somehow was able to stay spoiler-free for all these and went in fresh every time. And I thought they did a really good job of tying everything together. I mean, as a casual fan, I was happy with it, so I wasn't bored or anything. So it was good. Okay.
Well, I've tried. No, go ahead, Joseph.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say I think the most surprising thing about that movie was Alan Rickman. in the flashback, there's a flashback sequence in the middle of the movie, and he's just really good in that.
Mm-hmm. I agree, yes.
He was my favorite character in the first three anyway. Of course, for those that don't know, he plays Snape.
Yep. Yeah, he was definitely the best part of that movie, I think, overall, too. It's very well acted.
The other movie that came out that day, on July 15th, was... and I was a little disappointed because my favorite... not disappointed, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm treading lightly on this, and I will take my goddaughter to this. I will not walk into this alone for fear of, you know, being targeted and going to prison. But they did make a new Winnie the Pooh, and as a kid, Winnie the Pooh was my favorite Disney character. So, and I loved all the movies as a kid. But, you know, with all the guys that voiced Pooh in the old days dead, this one has John Cleese, Craig Ferguson voices it. I'm a little leery of seeing it, but my goddaughter wants to go see it with me, so I'll probably end up going to see it anyway. But I'm a little leery of that. But I'm going to move along because I know neither of you really care about that, so I'm going to move along. Unless, Joseph, you do have an opinion of Winnie the Pooh. I know you probably don't, but I should open it up to our guest if you...
I haven't seen it, but, I mean, it looks harmless.
Yeah, so it's Winnie the Pooh. It's Pooh. He's, you know, I always have running debates with fellow Disney fans about who the most iconic... I know everyone says Mickey Mouse, but I can't stand Mickey Mouse. I'm a Winnie the Pooh guy. But the following week, and this is probably my favorite movie of the summer, and maybe my favorite, pretty close to my favorite superhero movie of all. And I loved all the Spider-Mans and the... Not the first Hulk, because nobody liked that one, but the second Hulk. But this one, to me, was one of the best made... superhero movies, I think, of all time. And that was Captain America, the First Avenger. I thought Chris Evans was great. I thought it was well done. It was perfectly scripted for the Captain America story. It was tremendous. It was an excellent, excellent movie. One of the, again, I think the best superhero movie that they've ever done. Joseph, did you see it? What did you think?
I did see it. I thought it was really good. It was better than Green Lantern, which I'm not knocking Green Lantern. I did like that one. I don't know if I'd put it better than Thor or X-Men, but it was really good, and it's probably one of the best superhero movies they've released in this last couple of years. Mm.
Now, Justin, I know you're not a huge comic book superhero guy, but I recommend if you get a chance to actually see this. I think you'll like it.
Okay.
I think you'll like it. It was very good.
Check it. I mean, I'm not a huge comic fan, but I enjoy the movies. Like, I've seen all the Spider-Mans, all the new Batmans, the major ones I've seen. Actually, I saw one of the Fantastic Four, too, I think. So, yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
No, it's very good. I think you'll like it. And actually, the trailers were excellent. There was a trailer for the new Spider-Man, which has... I can't think of his name. Oh, the kid. The kid who was... That I said was in the Social Networks. That I liked. I don't remember the actor's name, but I'm sorry, Joseph. Did you just say his name? Because I don't remember his name.
Yeah, it was Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, he played the kid in Social Networks that I felt bad for. He actually plays Peter Parker. It's pretty much a redo. Right. So it seems like it's going to be a little darker.
They're going to follow the Batman format, I would think. Right.
Yes.
Spider-Man's not as dark a character.
Yeah, and the suit looks pretty cool, too. There was no trailer for The Dark Knight, or what is it, The Dark Knight, or what, I don't remember what the name of Rises, yeah. There wasn't a trailer for that. A lot of people thought there was.
That was attached to Harry Potter.
I didn't see that. I was pissed, because I had read that, too, for Harry Potter, and they didn't show it for ours.
Oh, the only cool thing, and I know you, me telling you, Justin, it's not going to affect you spoiling it or anything, but the cool thing about Cap is that at the end you do get the actual first pseudo-trailer for the Avengers movie next year, which is pretty cool. So it's like a, you know, one, like a minute. It's like a half teaser, half trailer. It's not really a teaser. It's more than a teaser, but less than a trailer. So it's like half and half. And that looks like it's going to be pretty awesome. I think people were clapping and cheering in the theater. I haven't seen that in ages after the actual trailer was played, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, for those that haven't seen it, I highly recommend Captain America. It's going to be out for a while, so I highly recommend it. I thought, as like Joseph said, it is the best superhero movie that has come out in the last few years. And again, even my friend who's a big Thor fan said that he liked it better than Thor. So, but Joseph said he thought Thor was right. You said you thought Thor was a little better than Cap.
Just a little better.
Okay, so some people think that it's better. So, but I recommend seeing it. The next one that came out that same weekend is Justin's bromance with our man Mr. Timberlake.
Bromance and romance.
Yes, Mila Kunis. She's hot. Mila Kunis. Yeah. In Friends with Benefits, which I wouldn't mind having with her. I think most wouldn't. But that came out. Did you see that, Joseph? What did you think of that?
No, I didn't get to see that one. I was too busy watching Cap, actually.
But actually, there was a pretty long line. I was at the movies down in Port Chester, which is the first town just across the Connecticut into New York line, and it was pretty long. So people were getting into it. Of course, most of them were 17-year-old girls. So, and Justin. So. It'll be you and 18-year-old girls in line, but that's okay.
No, I won't say that in the movie. That'll be a HBO special for sure.
Okay. A couple movies that just came out this past weekend. I don't know if you've had a chance yet, Joseph, to see these, but we'll talk about them. Obviously, the one trailer. Actually, this trailer came out when they did the before Cap, and that was Cowboys and Aliens, which pretty much a lot of people say is like Unforgiven meets Independence Day or something of that nature. It's got Jon Favreau directs, but it's got James Bond and Indiana Jones in it, Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford. Have you had a chance to see this yet, Joseph, or no?
It didn't look all that great to me, actually, so I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Have you seen the trailer, Justin, or the commercials?
No, I just know I've read the spoiler that Tony Romo throws an interception at the end of the movie.
Yes, I know. That was the text I told you about earlier over the weekend that you sent me that you forgot about. That was the one.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, gets pick six. The alien runs, catches a pick six and runs it back. Thank you. That came out this past weekend, so the jury's probably still out on that movie. Two more movies that came out this past weekend: Crazy Stupid Love, which has another one of your bromance friends, Justin. That's Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling's in it. Marissa Tomei, who I think's hot. I haven't heard anything about that. Joseph, have you heard anything about that one?
That's actually the one that I went and saw this weekend because I'm a big Ryan Gosling guy.
Oh, what'd you think?
As I said to someone else, I've never used the word charming to describe a movie before, but that's what I would describe that as. It really won me over when it just looked sort of okay originally.
Mm-hmm. Would you think you'd be dragged to see this, Justin? I don't know. Is this a movie your wife would probably want to see?
She does seem kind of interested in it, but I don't think we'll get to see it. But it'll be a Netflix movie, I'm sure.
Netflix and HBO. Thank God you have those, don't you?
I feel like all summer we just have so much stuff going on that.
Yes.
You know, every summer I'm like, oh yeah, I want to see all these, and I just don't go see them. I mean, obviously Harry Potter was going to be seen.
Right.
And I want to see Horrible Bosses, but I don't think we're going to make it for it. Mm-hmm. Makes it at theaters, so.
Right. The other movie that came out this past weekend, and maybe I'm taking this too seriously because it is a kids movie. The other one that came out this weekend was The Smurfs, and I was a fan of The Smurfs as a kid, and I wanted to see a Smurfs movie where they're in the. I didn't want to see a live action where they're in real world. I didn't want to see that. I kind of wanted to see them in their element and living in their little houses and Gargamel and all. I know Gargamel's in this, but I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. I'm probably not going to see it, but I was kind of hoping they would do like a. You know, like the old school cartoon where they were living in their wilderness and stuff. And like, I didn't want to see the Smurfs do like grown up jokes. I don't know. Maybe they don't. It just seemed like they probably would.
They should do the Smurfs in German, like our friend Adam Murray used to be a big fan of. He had all the CDs of the Smurfs in German singing songs.
Seriously?
Yeah. You should remember, right, when the Smurfs were originally created. Can you tell us a little bit about the effect they had on the culture of the country?
Well, at the time, the early 80s...
'80s. It was 1958. Come on, now.
Oh, 1958 was Howdy Doody, and I didn't like him either.
No, the Smurfs right here. Series of comic strips. October 23rd, 1958.
Oh.
I would have set you up for an old joke in 1980. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But no, I didn't read the comic. I honestly didn't know there was comics in the late 50s of the Smurfs. I honestly didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I did not know. But I didn't read them. I was reading Archie. Anyway, let's look ahead, Joseph. Kind of give us your predictions on what you think of some of these movies that are coming out this month. The movie that's coming out, speaking of our man Ryan Reynolds, I can't believe this guy did two movies at once.
He's a beast.
He is a beast. Jason Bateman, too? Can't argue with him, huh?
No,
look at this guy trying to
everything over like the last 4 years.
I know he's been a machine, huh?
Yeah, he has not taken a break. Well, you know what? He was out of the spotlight for so long. I think he was just like.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, I mean he did. He was part of a really good show, Arrested Development, which I only saw the first season of, but I never actually see the second one. But the first season I liked a lot, so
yep.
I always had a soft spot for him. But that's the change up that comes out this week. Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman. It's kind of like Freaky Friday with guys. Joseph, have you heard anything about that? Any buzz about this movie? Have you heard whether it could be good or bad? Or
I haven't heard any buzz, but the trailer looks pretty funny.
Mm. It is Ryan Reynolds, and he's got like a weird comb over. Did you see his like hair? His hair looks very different. So he definitely changed his character.
Some nice guy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird for him.
This other movie that's coming out, I don't know if this is a indie movie. I've never heard of it. It's called The Darkest Hour. I don't recognize who's in it, so it must be an indie flick or something. The actors, I don't recognize their names, so.
Well, this one's definitely
Rise
of the Apes.
Yeah, the next one coming out, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. That was one of the trailers. What do you think of? Obviously, you saw the trailer, Joseph, right? Because it was before the Captain America. I saw it before Cap. What did you think of the trailer? You think it could be pretty good?
I don't like the way they make the apes in the movie, but I think if I can get over that, maybe it'd be good.
In what way? What?
Like... I'm not a big fan of CG in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. The way they do it in this movie, the apes sort of look human, sort of not human. It's off-putting.
It's interesting. I might see it. I don't know how big a James Franco fan I am, but I might go see that. Coming up later in the month.
30 Minutes or Less, I think that actually looks kind of funny. It's got Danny McBride and Nick Swartz,
yeah.
They're both pretty funny. Jesse Eisenberg is good, and Aziz Ansari from Parks and Rec is also very good. So that looks pretty good. But they hijack him and make the guy rob the bank. They strap the bomb to him. So, yeah, I think that looks pretty good. The Help, based on a novel that my wife actually read. She's been waiting to see that movie. It's got Emma Stone as well. It's kind of the hot actress right now.
Oh, The Help.
Yeah,
yeah. Also coming out that day is finally a horror movie, Joseph. So we can finally talk about something. Similarly, it's Guillermo del Toro, who is a Spanish, right? He's Spanish. Director. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Have you heard anything about this movie?
I've seen the previews and stuff. I'm a big fan of Guillermo del Toro anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's only producing this, but it looks really good. I'm just glad that August has any horror at all, because normally we don't get... Normally, we at least get one or two during the summer. We haven't had any this summer.
No. Horror movies have been—it's been pretty sparse. I actually, the one Del Toro movie I did see was the Orphanage, or The Orphans.
He produced The Orphanage. Yeah.
Orphanage. I saw that. I thought that was very good. And I'm not a big fan of movies with subtitles, but I actually thought that was very good. I enjoyed that. And then, as Justin mentioned, The Help. Here's another one that had Triple H rumors in it, although not as big as the Thor rumors were, and that is the remake of Conan the Barbarian, which comes out August 19th. I don't know. I've always had a soft spot for Arnold. He was awesome. He was Conan for me as a kid, so you know, I probably will see it too, and it has Ron Perlman in it, and I love Ron Perlman. So, what have you heard about this, Joseph? Anything good?
I haven't heard anything good about it. I don't like the director. I don't like the trailers. Or I don't even know who the guy in it is. Jason Momoa, I think.
Momoa.
I'm probably going to go see the other movie that comes out that week, which is Fright Night.
Yes, I was about to go that one next, because that is also another remake. I love the original. Fright Night, it was a movie, came out in 1985. It had... Chris Sarandon, had Roddy McDowell in it, and a very young, what the hell was her name? Crap.
Amanda something.
Amanda, oh, damn it. Justin, do you remember the what's his name's wife on Married with Children early on?
Marcy Darcy?
Marcy Darcy. Whoever her real name, Amanda something or other. I don't remember her last name. She was in it. And it's about a, you know, it was kind of a pseudo horror comedy. This one is actually going to be taken much more seriously than that one was. Not that that was a comedy, but it was a little lighter, you know, 80s horror kind of half light. But Chris Sarandon played the vampire. This one Colin Farrell does, which I think is actually pretty cool. Also in this movie, for you Doctor Who fans, David Tennant's in this movie as well. So it should be pretty interesting. But yeah, definitely based on the trailers, I don't know what you think of this, Joseph, but it seems like this one is a little darker than the original was. Do you think so?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I do think it'll have some comedy because you got McLovin in it, so it's hard to take him seriously. But
that is true.
It definitely looks different than the original, which I loved. It's one of my favorite horror movies of all time. Mm-hmm.
Really? It's one of my favorites, too. I don't put it in that level of, you know, Friday the 13th or Halloween, but I do. It is one of my favorites to watch.
I can't believe they're still making Final Destination movies, and I'm not into any of them. And as soon as I saw the commercial with the whole LASIK thing, I tuned out because I was just happy that didn't happen to me when I had mine. But I don't know. Joseph, are you a fan of that franchise at all, or is it kind of just treading water at this point?
It's definitely it's went downhill since the second one, I think. But I'll probably see it just because, I mean, it's people dying in grisly ways. It's pretty good for a horror fan.
Mm. And speaking of a series that's kind of crapping out, there is a fourth Spy Kids that's coming out, too. Hmm. Although it has one of your guys in it, though, Justin. Jeremy Piven is in it. So.
Oh, very nice.
Well, I guess he's got to find something to do. Isn't this his last year of being the great Ari Gold anyway? So.
Yeah, well, they're talking about an Entourage movie, though, in a couple of years. I guess it seems like it's pretty much a lock at this point.
Mm.
So he will be reprising the role. So, and then the summer wraps up with already a Brother in the Debt. I don't know if there's anything special going on there. But
well, Paul Rudd's in it. He's usually pretty funny. And yeah. I like Zoe Deschanel. Zoe, she played the sister in Almost Famous, so I always had a soft spot for her. I always thought she was cute. And The Debt, I don't know. Helen Mirren's in it, so it can't be that bad. She just doesn't pick crappy movies. So,
all right, so Joseph, what was your favorite, just to kind of wrap things up here with you, what was your favorite movie of the summer then?
It would probably be Harry Potter, yeah.
Okay. And is there anything you're looking forward to outside the summer, just kind of, you know, fall into the winter, anything specific you're looking forward to? Or?
I'm looking forward to The Muppets, for one. That looks really good. I'm a big Muppets fan. And I can't really... The Thing prequel. That'll be interesting to see how they remake that.
Cool.
So, Joseph, before we let you go, I need to ask, being a big horror movie fan that you are, obviously, in my opinion, and you can... If you have another one, I'd love to hear it. Probably the three cornerstone horror movie series are Halloween, Friday the 13th, and Nightmare on Elm Street. Those are obviously the backbone of horror in the last 30 years.
Yeah,
30-plus years. What is your favorite of the three?
Of the franchises or just the movies?
The franchises.
Friday the 13th would be my favorite franchise.
Mm. Okay. Your favorite... But, Dina, you might be like me. Is Halloween your favorite horror movie?
Yes.
Yeah. I think a lot of people say that because The middle Halloweens were absolutely abysmal. I don't know which ones are worse, the middle Halloweens or the middle Nightmare on Elm Streets. Because like Nightmare on Elm Streets 4 and 5 might be two of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. They're absolutely atrocious.
At least in the Nightmare sequels, you have Robert Englund just hamming it up. So
yeah, trying to carry it. Yeah. Well, this is what I always said, and maybe when we have another horror movie special, I'll have to have you come back on. I always tell people that. Tell me if you agree with this or not. I always said that Nightmare on Elm Street was a very cerebral series because, you know, Freddy Krueger was a very cerebral villain. So you really needed to have decent actors to kind of carry those movies. And obviously those budgets were all, you know, $20 in a case of beer. So they really couldn't find anybody, you know, legit to really carry those stories. And so, again, you had Robert Englund hamming it up with a bunch of nothing actors, and the stories just didn't. I don't know. Did you ever think that about those? I always thought that they were such cerebral horror movies that they couldn't do as good a job of carrying the stories as Nightmare or Halloween did.
Well, they had decent budgets. It's just that as the sequels went on, they all went to special effects. But as the sequels went on, it was the Freddy show, and I think everybody knew it, so they didn't really care who they got to play the victims.
That's true.
He was everywhere in the 80s. They had the show and the merchandise. And
that's right. Did you like the new one that came out?
I like Jack Earl Haley in the new one.
I did too.
The movie itself is lacking.
You thought so? I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, he was very good. He was a different... One thing I have to give him credit for, he didn't play Robert Englund. He was a much more... He was a darker... I mean, he did have his little one-liners, but nothing like the others.
I like how he took one-liners from the series and twisted it around so they sound even worse. The I'm Your Boyfriend Now sounds much worse when it comes from this Freddy than the old one.
Yeah. Well, the other one was good because you had the nice rubber tongue sticking out of the phone. It kind of adds to the effect. But I'll have to sit you down. We'll have to watch the. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but you have to watch.
I've seen like parts of them. It's just not my thing.
Well, you have to at least watch the original Halloween because it's not really a horror movie from horror movie standards. It was a good psychological thriller. There's hardly any blood in it, so it's.
All right,
we'll do a
double feature. Watch that, and it's complicated back to back.
What a great combo.
Which one would be scarier?
I like Baldwin. It can't go wrong.
Well, that's true, too. So, well, there's your summer movie list, fans.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff has been out, still out. And again, I stress it again, I would definitely go see Captain America. You would not be disappointed. I swear to you, you will not be disappointed. It was a tremendous movie and one of the best summer movies in a long time. So I definitely give that a thumbs up.
Yep, so. For sure. So any last kind of comments, Joseph, before we kind of let you go here? And then we definitely want to bring you back as we get closer to Halloween in that season to have you kind of hit into your wheelhouse with the Bloody Good Time stuff. But any kind of plugs you want to get in or any other things you're looking forward to?
Just my weekly column, Bloody Good Time, every Thursday on this 4-1 Mania.
Cool.
What do we have looking forward to this week? Do you have a topic in mind yet, or should we be surprised?
Yeah, I've got it. This week, I warned the fans I'm going completely fanboy on them. I'm taking the killers and horror movie monsters and pairing them up and picking who I think would win each fight.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool idea. That's a really
I've got to read that. I cannot wait to read that. That's right in my wheelhouse. I can't wait for that.
And Joseph, feel free anytime. Come right on our Facebook page, the Place to Be Podcast Facebook page, and plug your columns. I'm sure a lot of our listeners would be interested in them. So,
no problem.
Definitely check it out. So we want to go ahead and thank you for joining us. We'll definitely have you back, as I said, later in the year to talk about some horror stuff. So thank you for making your debut here on our 50th episode, Joseph. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you.
Joseph Lee.
Yeah, good job out of Joseph. Really,
yes.
Brought some interesting discussion on movies. Big movie fan, and his columns are also very good. So definitely check those out, fans. So Scott and I wanted to get into some wrestling now. And sports too. I think we should maybe talk about some, NFL stuff.
Free agency was hot and heavy this weekend, and
yes,
you got a nice upgrade. I got my season might have just gotten flushed on the toilet on Friday, but we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, Raw going on at the moment. I know Justin and I had mentioned last Monday on our headline show we were going to try and keep you in the loop. For those that are watching it, you already know, but for those that haven't watched it yet, I have it on mute, but I had it on mute in the middle. The opening promo, a 24-minute record. And that's like Attitude Era length.
Yep. And it didn't feel like 24 minutes, I'll say that.
No, it didn't. Actually, one of our loyal listeners, the Sanchez, popped on Facebook and said, so are you marking out over a 24-minute Triple H Punk promo? I said, 24 minutes? And I look at the clock, and it was 9:24. I went, holy shit. It didn't seem like it. It seemed like it was maybe 12 or 13 minutes, but I loved it. I thought it was great. You could see the seeds being planted and for what could happen down the road. But Triple H did a good job. He didn't overstep his bounds. And the one thing I noticed, and we'll see what happens towards the end of the night, because he'll obviously come back out and assess the title situation and obviously give you a match for SummerSlam. But he definitely allowed more than he normally does, because normally jabs about Stephanie have been off limits in the past, but right now, you can't have anything off limits. Not with a guy like Punk. You start curtailing stuff. You know what it is, Justin? You start curtailing stuff, fans are going to notice it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're going to know it.
And the thing is, too, a lot of people are already weary of how this thing's going to go the way they brought Punk back. And a lot of people thought they should have had it simmer a little bit longer. I just think they were in a tough spot where with SummerSlam and you have the hottest guy in the company not being on that show. To me, it would have been tough for them not to have him on. I could see why they gave in to the temptation. But I liked how they went tonight, that they didn't force things and they didn't make it like he was just another guy. He basically came out and said, he gave his reasons and then said, you know, I'm still going to be the same douchebag, basically, I've been. Just because I signed a contract doesn't mean everything's going to be back to normal. So
right. And the other thing is, if it was true that he was leaving, then you've already pretty much handed the belt to Cena. If they do that match, which we all know they're going to. I mean, Triple H hasn't officially announced it. He will probably do it in about 15 minutes. But now that Punk's back, the chances of him retaining and taking Cena's belt and being the undisputed champ again goes up immensely. So I think in that aspect, I think it was a good thing. Because if he was really leaving after SummerSlam, then is anybody going to read? And I don't think they're going to let Punk bounce around with the belt for 4 or 5 months. So I don't think it was that bad. And I think the fact that he's sticking around may actually spike the buy rate because the chances of him keeping it, which he should, increase.
And as long as he keeps up this attitude and this kind of style of what he's doing, I think they'll be interested. And the crowd tonight was really red hot for him still. So it's like he lost any momentum coming back. And they're obviously setting this up for WrestleMania long term. And I think the whole hook will be because Triple H basically said it tonight, you know, I have to play by the rules. I'm the CEO. I can't get involved. So I think, you know, Punk will run with the title. Triple H will eventually kind of find a way to get it off of him. And then they'll build to Mania. The question will just be who will be the heel. You know, will Triple H become a heel CEO by that point? I'm guessing you're going to keep Punk as kind of the Austin-type face. You can't really have him play heel. So,
yeah.
And I think the title's going back to Cena because I do think they want it on the line for him and Rock. So.
Yeah, I think
no,
so.
I think Punk retained Sunday, but I think eventually Cena gets it back.
Yeah, he might get it back. I mean, September you have Night of Champions, and there might be a pretty good stip that match. And
Rock has already announced that he'll be at Survivor Series. So, you know, there is a chance they could do something there where he comes out and costs Punk the title to get it back on Cena, saying he wants, you know, the title on the line. So.
Mm. Well, with Survivor Series being at the Garden, I think it's almost a four. I mean, it'd be stupid not to have Rock there.
Yeah, no, that'll be a huge show having him there, and it'll be, 15 years since his debut in the Garden, so.
That's true. It is. It'd be 16? Well, 96.
No, 15, yeah.
Yeah, 15 years. Yep.
So, yeah, pretty big. Yeah, that'll be a very, for the first time in a while, we're going to have a pretty important Survivor Series.
Yes, probably the last, I don't know, 02? The first chamber, probably?
Yeah, it might be. I mean, we've had some big stuff happen, but I mean, as far as build to being a big show leading up to it.
Yes. Obviously, we'll look ahead. We got, 3 pay-per-views to go before that, so yeah. And plenty of stuff on camera.
And I can't believe SummerSlam now is only, 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from yesterday. And only match we have officially announced is Orton and Christian once again for the title.
Yes, which will be a no holds barred. Which, by the way, I did watch. I didn't get to see it. Oh, look at Toad Boy. He's got a little soul patch there. Growing some. It's the baby face is leaving. Obviously, Alberto Del Rio is coming out right now. Obviously, one of the big things that happened tonight on Raw, I don't always say big, but it might have actually helped the women's division, is Beth Phoenix turned heel tonight.
Yep.
She won the Battle Royal, and then her friend, quote unquote, Kelly came in to congratulate her, and Beth beat the shit out of her.
Yeah,
which
it was a
cool
spot, too, in the Battle Royal. Beth lifted each Bella on her shoulder and jumped them both, so it was kind of neat.
Yep, one on each hand. So that was pretty impressive. And I think everybody likes Beth Phoenix. She's better off as a heel anyway. So.
And you definitely can't complain. I mean, the direction of the promotion, regardless, maybe a couple of things here and there, they've bungled along the way, but it has been solid. It seems like they're moving forward in an intelligent direction. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing a renewed push for some guys, like Dolph Ziggler. Got some promo time tonight, which is good to see. And it looks like they're starting a feud with him and Alex Riley, which is a good mid-card feud. Zack Ryder was on TV again tonight. The tag champions were on TV again tonight. So, it looks like we're starting to see some more guys, even on Raw, get pushes, which is good. Mm-hmm. And, as much flack and ball busting we give you about Triple H, I think he is going to be very good in this role. I think it's kind of made for him. You play into the reality as well, so there's a lot going on. But it's good to have a fresh voice. You know, it looks like the GM's just going to disappear. I guess we're never going to find out who it was, unless they're saving it for when Foley returns, which, of course, is pretty much a lock at this point. He's pretty much admitted he'll be back. So it's just a matter of when.
And so, I think, and I'm looking forward to seeing him back. He's been gone long enough.
What do you think he does, though? Do you think Triple H makes him GM? Do you think he's just going to be on as a random character? Does he? I mean, there's kind of no room for him in either announce booth right now unless they were to dump Jerry Lawler. It looks like, actually, from some of the comments on the blog and elsewhere, this three-man booth is not working well, I guess, as of right now.
Well, let's be honest. Cole's heelness is done. It had a good window. It was fun to watch.
I don't know. I go back and forth because I think they need a heel voice, and I think he's good at it. I just think he needs to be good. I thought this actually was going to help him because on SmackDown, he plays such a heel role, but then on Raw, he was still playing the play-by-play guy. So I thought having JR back to do that and having Cole as just being the straight heel on both shows would help him, but I don't know. I guess maybe it's not.
But for me, what I think is JR makes Jerry better. Jerry has become just so unlistenable at times. I think that now that Cole's back to being kind of milquetoasty on Raw, having babyface JR, babyface Lawler, and then the heel, I just don't think it blends well. I like JR and Jerry together. JR gets the best out of Jerry, and I think Cole should just stay on SmackDown and be the heel.
I honestly wish King would go, and I wish they'd bring Foley back for Raw and do JR and Foley in the Raw booth because they were really good on SmackDown.
Oh, I thought they were tremendous on SmackDown together. Absolutely.
Leave Cole on SmackDown with Josh and Booker if you want to keep Booker around. So,
these Slurpee cups are actually pretty snazzy looking. There's 8 Slurpee cups. They actually have a Piper Slurpee cup, which I think is pretty
funny. Punk, though, which is pretty good. Plays up on the storyline.
Yes. But I think it's pretty funny. He'll probably say something like, you got that old bastard Roddy Piper on there. Or he could actually throw digs at Steve if he wants to, if they want to build a storyline. Say, oh, what do you got Steve on? He's not even on the show anymore, you know, or something like that. But, yeah, I agree. If they did a Punk cup, I mean, you know that he'll say something at some point. Yeah, I love the Punk cups, guys. Nice job, you know. He's got to keep that up. That's the best part. But, I thought Foley and JR were great on SmackDown. They made that show really good. What was it, 2000? The hell was that? 2008, right? Yeah, it was 2008 because...
JR tweeted, he hasn't done a Raw episode of Raw in full since 2008.
Right. And
so when did he leave? Because I know he's on SmackDown for a while. Was he into 2009 or no? Because I know he was with Foley, then Foley left, and it was him and Grisham, right?
Yes, it was him and Todd. And obviously, well, JR did 25, so he was around through 2009 because he did Shawn and Taker in Houston.
Yeah.
So he was there, definitely there through the middle of 2009.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah, Taz left in early 2008, right? And then Foley took over for Taz. Well, no, then Coach and then Foley.
No, Foley replaced JBL, didn't he? Or am I going way too far back?
No, Taz replaced JBL because JBL went back to wrestling.
That's
Taz
right.
Moved to SmackDown with JR. Then Taz left right before 24. And Coach was doing it with JR. And then Coach left. They kicked Coach out and they put Foley in.
That's right. So it was right because Taz was on ECW with Joey, Taz left. And who was on doing ECW then? Joey had left too. Joey went to the who was doing ECW then? In like 2008, 2009.
Stryker and Todd were doing it.
That's right. Yeah. So,
JR on April 8th, 2009, JR announced that Taz was leaving.
Oh, so he lasted.
Oh, so it was actually 25 then. I thought it was 24, but I guess it was 25. I know it was right before. I thought it was right before Mania.
Because I think Taz did the Edge Taker match that ended 24.
No, it was Coach. This
was
is,
it Coach?
This is Wikipedia, but I think it's off.
Okay. So I think it was April 8th, 2008, which means he still would have been at 24 unless he just wasn't on camera.
Who, Taz?
Yeah.
No, he was gone. He was definitely gone because they said on the thing, I remember him offering to stick around for the show and they told him no. And then Coach did the main event. It was okay. Cole and Coach, I think, did the main event.
Incidentally, I don't know if you're watching Raw right now, but Evan Bourne's t-shirt looks like Foley's old shirt. With the for a minute, it looked like the Have a Nice Day picture with the face on it. When you look at it quickly, it looked like the Have a Nice Day with the Mankind mask.
I'm sorry, you know, I get this whole thing backwards. Foley took over for Coach. Did do WrestleMania 24.
Okay.
Then Foley took over for him, and then when Foley left, Taz moved to SmackDown.
Okay.
And Taz was there until April 3rd, 2009.
Okay. So he didn't make it to. Was he at 25?
No, he wasn't. That 25 was where he was. He offered to do it, and he didn't. They told him no. I think they just did the three-man booth with J.R. King and maybe it was Cole. I'm not sure, but
yeah, that's right.
And then what's his name came over? Grisham came over after Taz left, I think.
That's right. Okay. But anyway,
in October 6, 2009 was his last full show.
Was JR's. Okay. So it's only been a year and a half. Doesn't seem like that long, but
yeah, the next year, the next week he took a week off for his anniversary, and then the week after he had his third Bell's Palsy episode. And that's where they took him off, and then basically he was off, you know, from there on out.
Mm. But I would love to see Mick come back. Well, I'd love to see him in the booth, but he won't be a regular wrestler. He only did it in TNA because their roster was so hideous at the time. It's a lot better now. I don't know if the, I mean they don't have the, do they have still have the podium and the laptop out there anymore?
No, I don't bother? Think so. I don't think it's even out there.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big. I don't even think anybody gives a shit anymore. To be honest with you,
it just kind of sucks that they did all that and didn't really pay it off at all.
I know. But I'd like to see Foley back in the announcement. He was very good, you know, and JR kind of helped him along too. So, no, that'll be interesting to see what happens. As for other legends, I think to be honest with you, if the product starts getting, you know, kind of crispy again in terms of excitement, sparkling with electricity, I would be surprised if you see some of the guys come back. I think you'll see Steve on camera more. I think Rock is getting excited. I think you see a lot of guys kind of, you know, come back and maybe, you know, make things interesting.
Well, Roxanne was still going to be kind of the determining factor of how the next year is going to go from there. You know, does Rock win that and stick around a little bit? Probably not. I'm guessing Cena's going to win. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they go from. And really what they're going to do with Triple H. Is he just going to have that one match? Is he going to have more matches? Is he going to be a heel, a face? There's a lot of directions they can go. So it'll be interesting to see as things get past SummerSlam and into the fall. You know, with football starting, they kind of hit the doldrums a little bit usually, but we'll see if they can kind of keep things going.
Mm. On a side note, during this Alberto Del Rio, Evan Bourne match, they were just pimping the new DVDs that are out right now. One of them is the new Ray DVD. What was it? The Life of a Masked Man.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think, has a match list been released yet of that? Because I can't fathom. I have the one that came out, what was it? The Little Big Man or whatever it was, yeah, that came out a couple years ago. Can't, what other matches could they possibly put on there? Because they did two DVDs of his already. And they've already put, I'm just curious to see how they're filling three DVDs worth of stuff.
I'm not sure. If it's coming out soon, it must be a match list out there somewhere.
Yeah, it's got to be some DVDs.
And
I did read
today that the Brett Shawn one is coming out, I think, like October 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Again, I got to see the Raw interview. Not Raw, small R, not big R, obviously, when they were shooting it in my building.
Yep.
And I sent you a couple of little snippets that I heard. I tell you, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Was that our first on-air burp right there? Was that what that was?
Did you hear that? I apologize. excuse me about that. Well, you know, I was talking about Sean, so it was during the DX. I was referring the DX year, so
yes.
Pardon me for that, but that's all right. You did it when you picked the phone up, so it was we're even. But anyway, yeah, the raw interview I watched, and I remember texting you a couple snippets. It's gonna be very good. There's no holding back. There's no holding back. Obviously, Brett. You know, they both put themselves over. Why wouldn't you? The problem is Sean, this is my opinion, and we'll talk more about this when we get to October when the DVD comes out. Even on his My Journey DVD, and I love Sean. I have nothing, he'll always be one of my five favorite guys of all time. Sean just always sounds like he's hiding something.
Mm.
Like he's not totally being honest with you. Like it's almost like at this point of his career, he's afraid to say something that'll upset people. He just never, like Brett, one thing you got to give Brett credit for, as much as the guy might be a mark for himself, when he explains, the guy's got a memory like an elephant.
A big part of it, like we've said in the past too, is that he did, you know, keep an audio diary of pretty much his whole career, so.
Mm. So he knows, you know, he knows what to say, and he's pretty fluid with it. Sean just always, he was, you know, it's kind of like, you know, kind of like the, back then it was kind of, you know, like he's not saying it. So to me, just, and again, I love Sean, but it just, every time you hear him talk, he always sounds like he's hiding something or he's not being completely honest with you. Like he's afraid to say what he really wants to say. And I don't know. I'm not saying he's at this point when it comes to like Montreal and all that, nobody cares anymore in terms of who's right, who's wrong. It's irrelevant at this point.
You know who does care about your burp, though?
What?
I got my 2x4.
I'm surprised he graded it, probably.
Maybe the
that was a tremendous one there, tough guy.
Good burp.
Actually, he was mentioned on the... speaking of the devil, he's the KOK is back into the ring. I mentioned on our Facebook page, Place to Be Podcast, I said that I was predicting that Triple H is going to announce another shocking return tonight. It's obviously not going to happen, but that's okay. And Todd Weber, our 50th episode winner, said that if Duggan actually came back tonight, it would be like the Triple H throwing Scott through the barbershop window, the ultimate betrayal.
No, that was Rob Houston, your archenemy.
I mean, that was Rob Houston said that, yes. Todd Weber mentioned Duggan, but – or Rob Houston did mention Duggan, but you never bring him out on the headline shows.
I had to. You burped. You asked
for my God.
I just picture there was snot hanging out of your nose. Burping, actually, you know, there is a really funny picture my buddy John Spencer from high school on Facebook posted. He took a picture of them. I don't think he's even a wrestling fan, but it was really funny. Some random car he drove by had an American flag and a 2x4 in the back seat, and he took a picture of it. And he said, I always pictured Jim Duggan to be kind of a truck guy or something like that. it was really funny, though.
Oh, God, that is pretty funny.
It's a Duggan, Duggan mania is running wild.
Oh, good Lord. Good. I'll run away. Is this for the Hot Scott's birthday today? Yes. We like to say happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, we got a few birthdays, actually. Let's do that
right
now
while
we're thinking
of it. But a happy birthday to
Aaron Pollen. I think he's 12, 13, something like that. He's the opposite of you. He's your Benjamin Button. You know, he goes down, and you go way up.
So by the end of the year, I'll be 3 million, and he'll be 4. Yes. He's like Jonathan Winters on Mork and Mindy. Oh, man, I just really date myself now.
Oh, Lord. All right, give it a rest. Also want to give a belated birthday to our buddy John Walters.
Yes.
It was his birthday a couple days ago. And by personal request, by his new nickname that we gave him, Graham the Broham, yes. We want to wish him a happy 30th birthday. Graham is right now actually traveling the country. He's actually at Raw tonight in Indianapolis.
Is he really?
Him and his wonderful fiance took a little road trip. They went to Nashville and then up to Indianapolis. I'm guessing he's probably going to be at SmackDown tomorrow. It seems like his type of thing. He usually follows them for the loop.
Well, no, we're not sure because this weekend is the... this weekend is the NWA Legends Fan Fest, so he'll be in Atlanta.
Oh, so I'm sure he'll be at SmackDown tomorrow, probably, and then
yes, but the SmackDown taping tomorrow, and then he'll journey back to Atlanta because this weekend is the NWA Legends Fan Fest, which is in Atlanta, which is rare because usually it's in Charlotte. As a matter of fact, obviously, you know, we can't look that far ahead, but next year the Legends Fan Fest will be back in Charlotte, and. There are some early rumblings about the Place to Be podcast taking it on the road.
Yeah,
but we'll have to talk about that. I mean, we're of course looking way far ahead. I mean, we're looking a year from now. So, but
lot can change. So
yeah, so we'll talk about it.
Yeah, happy birthday to Graham, our good friend, of course, from the history of WWE.com.
Yes, always pimps our stuff, and we look forward to talking to him again. We'll probably have him on. Another guy we'll probably have on in a few weeks.
Yeah, definitely.
Let us know how the fan fest went. Did any cool interviews he did? You know, any cool weird guy saying thinking it's real and crying with his glasses on, and see what's going on. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So we'll have him on again. We got a lot of stuff. I'll tell you something. You know, feeling very nostalgic tonight because again, it is our 50th episode, and once again, we'd like to thank our wonderful Place to Be Nation, the Kieran Pollins, the Rob Houstons, the Todd Webbers, the Corey Ferreras, the Sanchises, the. I better mention Jeremy Nichols. I'll use your full name. I don't want to skip your name.
God forbid.
I don't want to, if I forget your name, I apologize, but you all know who you are out there. Thank you again.
And of course, my favorite Place to Be a Nation name, J. Arsenio D'Amato.
Yes, I love that name. Yes.
The best.
It's tremendous.
Yes, he's a good guy. A lot of good guys. We love all our Place to Be a Nation. Austin Pfaff, Dennis yes. Nunez. So a lot of cool guys out there. Thank you for keeping the Facebook page popping.
We mentioned some of your names last week on our WrestleMania 7 podcast, but those that comment on Graham's History of WWE Facebook page, please come on over.
Yep.
Come on over to our page. We've got a lot of a lot of room for you to join us and talk to us, and you know, maybe you'll win the contest and get back on someday, at some point, maybe for the 100th episode. The game is coming out now, so obviously we're in our ending. Incidentally, tonight on Raw, and you can tell the 12-year-olds are texting tonight. They did a text poll. Is that what it was? I think it was a text poll.
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
Who is the true?
No, I think it was on the website.
Or on the website, and 64-46 was the that. Cena is the true WWE champion, which obviously is a farce. But anyway.
So, I was thinking kind of keeping this potpourri episode going since we're kind of all over the place right now.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, that's the point of the episode tonight. Our 50th episode, we're just kind of going through the pinwheel of topics.
I wanted to hit football quick, and then
yeah.
We got to get to the Todd Weber stuff, and then, of course, the big story of the weekend. So
yes.
And while we're talking football, the Sanchez will be keeping me abreast of this promo by Triple H, so we can kind of talk about that, too.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts right now based on NFL free agency? Who's looking like the winners, the losers, the strong teams heading into the – obviously, the Eagles are the big winners.
I was absolutely beside myself on – Friday afternoon. Obviously, one of the most prized free agents was I never get the guy's name.
Nnamdi
right.
Asamoah.
The prized free agent safety of the Oakland Raiders was a free agent. The last two teams, and it's ironic, the last two teams that were bidding for his services are the two teams you're listening to right now: the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets. The Jets. This was about 5 after 5 on Friday afternoon. The Jets had bowed out. The Jets bowed out, and I thought all Dallas had a blank check and was going to write it, and he was coming to Dallas. No more than 2 minutes later, that little worm Adam Schefter comes on and announces that he signed a 5-year, $60 million deal with the Eagles. And I swear to God, I want to put a bullet in my head.
I
couldn't believe it.
I wanted him on the Jets, obviously, because him and Revis together would have been unreal. But
I agree.
It was a luxury for them. So this, I actually think, it hurt Dallas and the Giants more than any other team.
Because, I agree.
It doesn't hurt the Jets that much. It was a luxury. And they ended up re-signing Antonio Cromartie anyway. And now they're going to get a pissed off Cromartie, which is even better. Because he's going to be annoyed that he wasn't their number one choice. And Johnny Ace is on right now talking with Triple H and waving to JR like a tool.
Well, because he just said he's the executive of talent relations, a job I took away from Jim. So in other words, he threw a jab. Great job you did too, John. Anyway, move on.
Of course, as we said, the bastard set of JBL and Roger Goodell.
He really does, yeah. He almost looks like a Kennedy, but anyway, not Mr. Kennedy, but go ahead.
I was upset, but then I was thinking, you know what, they're going to have some money to throw around now. And of course, they used it to sign Plaxico Burress. A pretty good 1-2 punch, really. To me, I liked Braylon Edwards, but it's definitely an upgrade if Plaxico can be what he was. And by all accounts, he's in pretty good shape. So him and Santonio Holmes is a pretty lethal wide receiver combination. And they throw Dustin Keller in a tight end and Cotchery in the slot. That's a very formidable wide receiver tandem. So I'm pretty excited about the Jets prospects, especially bringing back Cromartie. And it looks like they may be bringing back Sean Ellis as well. So I like where they're headed. The Patriots, of course, are the Patriots. I don't know if you saw it today, Randy Moss retired.
Yes. After 13 years, maybe just no team wanted to spend that kind of money. I'm not sure. But I got to be honest with you. And we'll make our picks. We are going to have an NFL preview show, of course, mm-hmm. Over the next few weeks before week one, which is the weekend of 9/11. If you hadn't signed, if the Jets hadn't signed
Plaxico,
thank you. Name just slipped out of my head. Plaxico, I would have given the AFC East to the Patriots simply because I think the moves they made this offseason. I'm not a big Haynesworth fan, but I like the Ocho Cinco signing.
Say on the opposite. I'm not a Haynesworth fan, but I think he'll do fine there. Ocho Cinco, I like him as a person. I think he's funny. I think he's entertaining. I just don't know what he's got left in the tank. He doesn't really scare me. When they played, I know there's a big difference between Tom Brady and Carson Palmer, but when the Jets played the Bengals, you know, twice that year and then even last year, Revis totally shut him down. Mm-hmm. So he just does not scare me. He'll probably get some, you know, he'll do okay just based on Tom Brady alone, but, I don't know. I'm not that afraid of their wide receiving core. Welker is wearing down. I mean, he's still really, really good, but he's not a scary threat. Deion Branch does not scare me. Ocho Cinco does not scare me. And, you know, I want to see Danny Woodhead hold up for a whole year, Julian Edelman, those guys. You know, two smaller guys. Let's see them take a full 16 games of pounding. So, I mean, you know, whenever you have Brady and, you know, Belichick, they're going to be really good. I mean, I haven't looked at the schedule in depth, but, you know, they're good for 12 wins. I just don't know if they have, again, what it takes to get them deep into the playoffs, something they haven't done in a while.
But with the signing of Plax, I think the Jets kind of went back up ahead again. But again, we'll have a full divisional breakdown on our NFL preview show. We'll let you know when we're going to do that one. We'll probably have a full cast of characters for that one. I know that there were some other signings.
Well, the big one to me, well, there's a couple of big ones. The Cardinals trading for Kevin Cobb, bringing in Todd Heap, kind of, you know, redoing their offense. I think they're about a year away. The other one to me was Miami not pulling the trigger on Kyle Orton and then choosing to trade for Reggie Bush over signing Ahmad Bradshaw. I think those are two big misses by Miami.
Yeah, I can't believe that Cobb – there were other rumors about some other moves at quarterback, but I'd say Cobb coming to – it was almost like the Hogan WCW parade with Cobb going to Arizona. It's like the Lord – it's like I don't know what happened. Somebody just walked through the gates of heaven.
Let's see him do something, though. I mean, that's a big contract to give that guy, and he really hasn't done much. I mean, I know that franchise needs a quarterback, and they're hoping he does – you know, he can be what they need. But, you know, and then, of course, McNabb traded to Minnesota.
I think he'll do fine there.
And the biggest one I can't understand is Seattle. You know, I like Pete Carroll. I like Seattle. I like the city. But I don't know what they're doing. Handing the quarterback job over to Tavares Jackson and then, you know, bringing in Sidney Rice, who's a good signing, but they gave him a lot of money. And who the hell is going to – is Tavares Jackson going to really get him the ball, you know, consistently? Or, you know, I can't tell if they're trying to tank things and hope to get Andrew Luck, or if, you know, I don't know why maybe they didn't go after Kyle Orton. It's kind of a weird situation up there.
I think another signing that I think not many people are really talking about right now, which could end up being a big deal down the line, is Vince Young signing with the Eagles, because he is now Michael Vick's backup.
Yep.
And, you know, the NFC East, as good as the Eagles are, the NFC East is a pretty damn tough division to play in.
I think it's definitely the Eagles to lose, though.
Well, I agree. My point is you know, you've got three very – I don't know about the Redskins, but the Cowboy defense
is not – Redskins are going to be awful.
Is going to be – yeah, the Redskins are going to be terrible. They'll be – I don't know. Mike Shanahan might jump off the Washington Monument after the season. But the Cowboy defense is not terrible, and the Giant defense is obviously very good. You know, Vic might – there's a good chance Vic might get hurt. You know, he runs freely in the pocket. He bootlegs a lot. Can Andy Reid, who is not one of my favorite coaches, he's one of the worst mismanagers of time. Many call him a good regular season coach and a pretty hideous playoff coach. Do you, you know, convince Young direct this team to the Super Bowl? Obviously, I still think the NFC, and again, we won't get into total predictions, but I will, you know, I still like the Packers. It's their conference to lose. But we'll get more into this on our special, but I think that's something that the Eagles have to think about. You know, Kevin Cobb was a guy you could plug in there, and he would, you know, be pretty serviceable. He'd get the job done. You know, Vince Young, it's a pretty pretty big leap of faith.
Yes.
To put him as your backup.
I agree.
So, but I can't disagree with the fact that the Eagles are the best team in the division.
And probably the conference. Now, my upset team, which we'll get to more in the preview, I think is the Rams. They got a really good, solid foundation with Spagnuolo as the coach and Bradford.
Great coach, yes.
And, you know, I think he's going to be a big-time quarterback. So I think the West is their division to lose, and I think they're going to be on top of that division for a while. So just quickly, what do you think of the Hall of Fame class? Say Brett Favre actually finally stays retired. In 5 years, him and Moss are going to go in together. That's quite the Hall of Fame class.
That is pretty amazing. It's like that Hall of Fame. I thought one of the greatest Hall of Fame classes in baseball was 90, because everybody retired in 93 before the strike.
Yep.
So that 99 class that had Nolan Ryan and Robin Yount was pretty damn good. That's the same thing. I think Favre will stay retired. No one's going to pay the money for him right now.
No, the only team was the
right now.
Yeah, the only team was the Eagles. Talk about maybe bringing him as a backup, but any team that brings him in is just one that wants headlines. I mean, I could see a team like Oakland trying to do it, or even Washington. I don't know if he goes to either of those, because they're not really in a position to win. So
no, and he got destroyed last year.
Yeah,
I mean, the Vikings offensive line is not terrible, but he got the crap kicked out of him last year. And if he goes to a team like Washington, forget it. He'd be toast.
Right, so if you had to pick one of those two guys that would play this year, which is it?
Between who? Randy Moss or
Yeah, come if on. One of them was going to come back, who is it?
Moss.
You think Moss comes back?
Moss. Yeah, because he's still in good shape. I think he still has something in the tank. I think he retired because just I don't think anybody wanted to pay for him. I think he thinks he's brings more to the. He certainly thinks he's a better receiver than Ocho Cinco, mm-hmm. and obviously I think
can't disagree. I think he may be.
You know, and he may think he's better receiver than T.O. and T.O.'s not going to play this year, so you know, I still think he thinks he's got something in his tank. Favre, I just think somebody's got his wife or somebody's got to smack some sense into him and say enough's enough now. All right, it was one thing when you got the Vikings this close 2 years ago. I can understand that, but you got your ass kicked last year. You literally got your head handed to you like the last 6 weeks of the season. That game in the snow at the University of Minnesota. I think they were playing the Bears. Was embarrassing. I mean, he got throttled. Where else is he going to go where he's going to get any kind of protection? Seriously, the teams that are the best offensive lines already have great quarterbacks. No one's going to spend the money for him as a backup, and he's not going to deal with being a backup. He'll just be a whiny pain in the ass. So, Randy Moss, however, sometime by midseason, he'll be on a team. He'll be on a team by Halloween, I think. Maybe even before that.
I think he'll be on a
team. It just depends on who is going to be desperate enough to spend the money.
Yep.
That's what I think.
Just to kind of pick up from this promo, Johnny Ace said Triple H should strip Cena of the title because that's what Vince would do. Cena apparently got a pretty funny jab in, saying Johnny Ace was a goon who used to carry the skateboard around. Of course, his dynamic dudes days.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say something about the sheepherder's flag, but
And Hunter told Cena that, for the record, it's not Hunter, I'm your boss. So I don't know if he wants to be Mr. Helmsley. I'm not sure, but...
Mr. H.
So I'm not sure. I'm still waiting for an update on what's going on here, if they announced the match or not. But
I believe they did.
Okay.
Reading my captioning, it looks like they did announce Punk versus Cena for the undisputed WWE Championship.
As far as they're not doing a ladder match.
I think a ladder match would be good.
I guess they just had two of them, though, at Money in the Bank. So.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool, though. And this match will obviously be the main event. Obviously, this match will probably be last.
Yeah, no doubt.
All
right, so...
And so just Punk's presence is just making this the electricity. The crowd just... It's electric seeing Punk there. It's just all it comes down to. Now now they're just posturing each other here, so...
All right, so I wanted to read some quick feedback and then talk about our upcoming stuff and then bring on our final guest.
Okay.
So let's see here. First feedback is from Brian Samek, a new member for the PTB Nation. Ah, well, I think Brian. He's a long-time listener, new first-time poster.
First-time poster.
Let me say, the Place to Be podcast is one word, perfect. I love listening to you guys, mostly the Vintage Vault. Great commentary, good backstories, and great information about some things that I didn't know. Grew up on that stuff. I am 33 now. So it's great to hear two guys give credit to whole storylines and to wrestlers that deserve credit, rather than most that rate everything 2 stars or lower if certain wrestlers aren't in it. And of course, Brian, that's what we always strive for. And he says, Barbarian has always been phenomenal, and you guys mentioning that made me a fan for life. So thank you very much, Brian. We appreciate your comments there. And we are glad to have you as a fan for life. Hope we are on for that long.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
All right. Let's see. Next up is Jay Arsenio D'Amato, the man.
Yes.
The myth, the legend. Can't wait for the big 50th episode. Two more classic Place to Be moments I can't get out of my head. The review of the women's match from Survivor Series 87, Haggard Old Hose Beasts. The Golden Girls theme song constantly playing was priceless.
I forgot about that.
I'll never forget that podcast. That was the night before my surgery, and I remember I was like scared shitless as we were doing it.
Yes.
For my eye surgery. So. Number two, every match review of Dusty Sapphire versus Macho Sherry feud culminating at SummerSlam 90 when Sapphire left Dusty for DiBiase. Two men fighting over a middle-aged black woman. Not sure how I feel about that.
That's right.
Corey Ferrero is bragging about getting a Twitter reply from Tony Schiavone. I tweeted Schiavone as well. I didn't get one, but it's too bad. He mainly just talks about the Braves AAA team that he announces for, but he gets into some little wrestling things here and there. Graham, of course, requesting his birthday shout-out, which we gave. Corey Ferreira, congrats on reaching 50 episodes. It's been a hell of a ride. The Vintage Vaults have been great, and I can't believe this week is SummerSlam 91 already. Where does the time go? The headlines are great and one of the best podcasts I listen to during the week. As for WWE, good to see Jim Ross back on full-time announcing for WWE again, and Raw and pay-per-views gives me a reason to enjoy them. I'm looking forward to Raw to see what CM Punk says in his promo and what our COO, Triple H, has to say about the title situation heading into SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. And then we already talked about the whole Rob Houston, Jim Duggan stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. And that's really about it for feedback. So let's talk about upcoming shows.
Oh, do you have an acceptance speech?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. You want to do that? You want to talk about upcoming?
We'll do that first.
Actually, talk about upcoming. I got to pull it up.
You got to look for it. Okay. Yeah. Well, upcoming, of course, coming up this Thursday on the Place to Be podcast will be, of course, our next Vintage Vault. And it's actually one of my personal favorite shows of all time. And that is SummerSlam 1991. One of my favorites, top to bottom. Be looking forward to that one. So that's coming up. Next week, we will have next Monday, we will have our SummerSlam preview special. We will pump up SummerSlam, which is 1 week from this Sunday, the 14th, from Staples Center in Los Angeles. We'll have a little list of Mania action, favorite world title match, favorite IC, favorite venue, so forth and so on. Then, of course, next week, another Vintage Vault, and that one will be the 1991 Survivor Series. And we all know how I'll get very excited about that one. And, you know, LL Cool G might be singing songs about more than one wrestler in that department. And then we got a lot of stuff coming up the rest of August. We got some interviews lined up. We'll keep you in tabs on that. We don't want to give any names away because we want to make sure we have them locked in first.
Yep.
We hate false advertising.
We got a really good one coming up next, though.
Yes. We don't want to be like the Vengeance 2001 poster when they actually promoted Triple H and he never showed up. We're not doing that. But we do have some great interviews lined up. We, of course, as mentioned, we will have both a NFL and NCAA football preview. Maybe we'll have my brother come back on, and we got to dig up the AR. I haven't talked to him in a while, Andrew Reich.
Yes.
What happened to him? I haven't talked to Andrew in a while, so we'll probably have him come on. So you and I got to talk about that. We'll definitely have a nice roundtable for both our NFL preview and our NCAA college football preview special. And also in the works, we didn't confirm it yet. We probably will do it. I don't think we've talked about it with our listeners, but we may be adding, at least through the fall, mm-hmm. We might be adding a third podcast during the week. Strictly topical for the gridiron. But we won't get into details on what we'll do. But we could do a third weekly podcast strictly for football. So we'll let you know if we do that or not. I have a feeling Justin and I have been talking about it in the pre-production stages, and it seems like it's going to happen. So, yeah, we got a lot coming up. So another 50 coming ahead. The guests I think you'll really enjoy. Just to kind of kick back, we've had some really great guests. Of course, two of our favorites, John Walters, and of course, former Ring of Honor heavyweight champion Eddie Edwards. Hope everyone enjoyed that. Graham Cawthon has joined us as well, our broham, and he will be back. As Justin mentioned, he's touring the world. He's actually only touring the Midwest, but I know he will be in Atlanta this weekend for the NWA Legends Fan Fest. I'm going to pop that site up for a minute because I'm curious to see I just want to let everyone know if you're interested in going. Let's see. Yeah, it is the 2011 NCAA, NWA Legends Fan Fest taking place this weekend. August 4th through the 7th at the Marriott Hotel near the Atlanta International Airport. And apparently it's a pretty loaded roster. Let me see who the Joe Pedicino is going to be on. Oh, Bonnie Blackstone. I remember them.
Yep.
I remember the two of them. They're joining. What do they used to do? I'm trying to think. But
Bonnie Blackstone, wasn't she like part of the PWI stuff?
I think she was. Yeah. They're actually raffling off a belt. A Hall of Heroes Class of 2011 belt. That's kind of cool. Let me get the guests. All right, featured guests. These are the guests that'll be at the Fan Fest this weekend for those that are interested in coming. Ole Anderson, The Assassin, Mr. Wrestling 2, Steve-O. No, not that Steve-O. Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Dr. Death Steve, not Dr. Death, Dr. D. David Schultz, Tony Atlas, is this Killer Carl?
Krupp.
Killer Carl, is it Killer Carl Krupp? Oh,
yeah,
here we go.
So.
Killer Tim Brooks, I'm sorry. The Masked Superstar, Dory Funk Jr., Terry Funk, Continental Lover Eddie Mansfield, Wildfire Tommy Rich, Nick Bockwinkel, Harley Race, Joyce Grable, Judy Martin. Oh, great.
A couple of your former lovers.
Leilani Kai. Oh, jeez. My whole harem. Thunderbolt Patterson. Ron Simmons. Gypsy Joe. Stan the Lariat Hansen. Teddy Long. Hands of Stone Ron Garvin. Oh, great. Can't wait for that. Outlaw Ron Bass. Buddy Colt. Scrappy McGowan, who's a former
referee.
NWA referee. Moondog Rex. Tully Blanchard. Perfect 10 Baby Doll. Greg the Hammer Valentine. Big Mama. Lars Anderson, Russian Bear Ivan Koloff, James J. Dillon, the Mongolian Stomper, Superfly Jimmy Snuka, the Universal Heartthrob Austin Idol, Pat Rose, former cowboy-looking wrestler, and Randy Rose. And that's your list. And I believe also added to that list, I believe, are Rob Van Dam and Piper. I think Roddy Piper will be there as well. It starts at it's a 4-day event. It actually starts on Thursday the 4th, this coming Thursday.
Okay.
And then goes through the Hall of Heroes dinner and awards hosted by James J. Dillon. I wonder who's the Hall of Heroes guys. See who the class is this year.
And of course, we'll have to check with Graham to see if he is. I'm sure he's attending.
Oh no, he usually does. Yeah. He usually have his because I think he has a deal with High Spots. I think that's why. I mean, don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
But I think that's why he has the table with his merchandise. So. That'll be a lot of fun.
Cool.
Ted Turner is actually going to be there.
No, Jesus.
Yeah, because he's in this Hall of Heroes. It's Turner, Gordon Solie, one of your favorite announcers of all time. Let's see. That's Hall of Fame. I'll have to find who the official 2011 group is. Oh, here it is. It's a bunch of masked dudes. Let's see. The Assassins, Ronnie Garvin, Sir Oliver Humperdinck, God rest his soul, Ray the Crippler Stevens, Masked Superstar, Gordon Solie and Ted Turner.
Cool.
It's an interesting class.
All right, so hopefully we'll get Graham on to talk about that once he, once he gets back from his little trip here around the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. World, really. So. Jesus.
All right, so let's quickly to read Todd Weber's acceptance speech. Of course, we announced that he won the Place to Be Nation first 50 episode fan contest by submitting his favorite moments, and he was not able to join us tonight due to work commitments, being on the left coast. So he did send me an acceptance speech. I was trying to find a good little Hall of Fame music, and all I could dig up was Glory Days. So we're gonna play that while I read this.
Okay.
So it's kind of fitting. All right. To Justin Scott and all the Place to Be Nation, it is with great honor and distinction that I accept this inaugural award as the PTB Fan of the Year. Now, let's get crazy. You're not Fan of the Year yet, Todd.
Yeah, really.
Fan of the first 50 episodes. Yeah. I was hoping to contact Rugged Ronnie Garvin to be my guest announcer to read the statement. Alas, he was so-called too drunk on the couch to appear. So he also looks overweight by about 30 pounds. He is also the only retired wrestler I've ever seen with two left feet, and he doesn't know whether he's coming or going. I've been with PTB Podcast Nation from the get-go. As soon as it was announced on the CWO Block of Doom, a group of which I am also a proud, if not, if usually lurking, charter member. Other notable longtime members of the Blog of Doom include Pastor Bloody Bruiser Brody Head Jordan Duncan and fan on the verge of the NBA contracting the New Orleans Hornets Andrew Reach. Since you asked, here is a story of how I became the man I am today. When I was just a boy, everybody told me what I should do and who I should be. Stand back. I get so tired of free bucks, I finally have to say, stand back. They never understand the kind of man I am. I do my own thinking, get a lot of big plans, stand back. For all of you who want to bring me down, I have news. Stand in my way, I promise you will lose, stand back. I never will be just an ordinary guy. I always push harder, reaching for the sky, stand back. That's a fact. I'm a man running wild, heading for the top, never slowing down, never going to stop. But along the way, you're going to see a lot of men drop. Baby, watch them drop. Baby, watch them drop. Baby, 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 watch them drop. Stand back. Scott and Justin, thank you for many hours of great shows that make a boring commute much more fun. Dear fellow Blog of Doomies, a commute is another name for a long drive to work at your job. A job is what you have when you get when you go get a job is what you have to go get when your mother finally throws you out of her basement and you need to rent an apartment or go live with the exiled wrestling blog icon Serpent Sky and her boyfriend husband Abyss. I will proudly display this award on my mantle next to my life-size bust of my personal grooming role models, well-known handsome men Boris Zukov and Scott Keith. Who will be hitting you up for laptop money very shortly. He did not. I added that. Added by the reader. I actually see a way yet opportunity to join your semi-legendary broadcast team and remain a proud member of the PTBU community. One Nation under Duggan, USA, 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 ho. And remember, like Dusty Rhodes says, doo-doo is good for me, and doo-doo is good for you, motherfucker. So there you go. That is Todd Weber's.
Did he really write the entire lyrics to Stand Back?
Yes. He wanted. He said I could either play the clip or read him, and I thought reading him would be much more funny.
Oh, good God.
So good stuff there from our buddy Todd Weber. We really enjoyed that. That was
oh god, what a train wreck!
Actually, I think it was better than having him on. I don't think that he could have done better than what he wrote.
Yeah, so you're done. Thank you. That was your performance. See you later. See you later. Bye. No, just kidding, Todd. You will be on eventually. So.
Yeah, that was definitely good stuff. So speaking of people we want to have on. Mm-hmm. We do have the second biggest event of the century. Of course, the first was his bachelor party a couple months back. But now we're going to bring him on to talk about his, end of his life? Is that what we want to call it? Whatever, however you want to word it.
He told me earlier today at his desk that this was going to be – tonight was one of the most important Raws of his life. He was looking more forward to this Raw than any other because he did say it would be my final Raw as a single man.
Well, maybe not for sure. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, that's true. I'm just quoting. I'm paraphrasing. But that's
right. So, of course, we want to bring on from deepest, darkest Connecticut, our buddy, the man who will walk down that aisle strutting and cutting this weekend, and that is Matt Rotella.
Of course you had to play that.
But that
I feel like Bobby Thigpen coming in for a save or something here.
I don't think we get many save opportunities.
No. We do know that you will not be wearing white socks on
why are you ruining it? I was hoping you would be.
Well, no, he'll probably wear his gray socks to go along with his work shoes. But yes. That would mean you have to find a brown tux, which I don't think is humanly possible. So.
All right. So this is what I want to start with, Matt. Now, this wedding is open bar. Am I correct in that assumption?
That is very much correct, yes.
Okay. Scott, you and I have been debating over the last couple of days what our drink of choice will be.
Yes, been very tough.
We're both kind of stuck because I'm kind of tired of beer, and I want to drink a lot and really ring up my Godfather's tab. So what we need to do is figure out a drink. So we're turning to you, PTB Nation. We don't want to drink beer, and I don't mix well with gin. And Scott is naturally angry, so I know he won't mix well with gin.
No, I won't.
So give us some drink suggestions that we can use to really ring up this bill on Matt and his parents and his future in-laws. And it's something that will get us sufficiently drunk but not angry.
It's not a la carte, so it's already all paid for. See, that could be racking up any kind of bill.
Oh, well, that sucks. Well, it doesn't suck. I mean, it's awesome that it's all paid for.
We need something different. I agree with you. I can't, you know, for a monumental occasion like this, doesn't require Bud or Bud Light or anything. We need something.
So if they're bringing in all the alcohol, are we going to have our full gamut? Like if I want a martini, say, can I get a martini?
You can get a martini. You can get whatever you want. But I have one suggestion for you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Don't drink your Godfather's Grey Goose.
Okay.
He's bringing his own, isn't he?
No, they're supplying it for him.
They are supplying it. All right, you had mentioned to me that I thought that they weren't going to have it, so he's going to have to bring his own. So,
Matt, now, are they going to have the special Shirley Temple mix for you, or are they going to have to make it from scratch?
They're going to have a nice Rob Roy.
I'll try to find some kind of Chicago area drink.
Yeah, as long as you wear, can you at least wear the white socks to the rehearsal dinner, the white socks and sandals? If anyone who doesn't know the joke, the Chicago joke, Matt wore a beautiful combination of sandals and white socks to my party last weekend, and my friend Charlie nicknamed him Chicago for the white socks. So I'm hoping you at least break them out, if not at the rehearsal dinner, at the after rehearsal dinner bar festivities, at least.
You may see them. You may not.
How about the giant polo shirt? Will the giant polo shirt be in play?
With as white as my skin is, I can doubt you'll be able to tell if I'm wearing socks or not.
Now, is this the bar after the rehearsal? Is that guys only? Are we splitting up the guys and girls? Is that a mix? Are you bucking tradition? What's going on?
It's a mix.
Okay. So you're not taking the whole staying apart thing seriously?
Well, in the morning we are. At night, no.
So you're staying in the same room?
No, we're not.
Okay.
I'm with my best man.
Oh, really? So one last night there?
Yeah.
Before you're committed. Okay, well, that's good. At least you're sticking with that tradition. Now, of course, the next day is the big day. Now, we get the rehearsal, we get the after party there, then we get the big day, taking pictures in the room. I'm not kind of curious how eight of us are going to pile into your room for pictures with this guy, but it should be interesting. And of course, then the limo to the church. That's where everything goes down. And then off to the reception. So what part are you kind of looking forward to the most? Are there any surprises in store for us? Anything we should be looking for?
Not too many surprises. I'm looking forward to everything. I'm just going to take it in. I just can't wait to have everyone in the same room. So
now I'm pretty excited because, as many people know, if you're married or if you've been in a wedding, the groom really shouldn't get that drunk at the wedding. I definitely am a firm believer of that. So I know you'll be a good boy. You're not going to get out of control.
He'll be lucky if he eats.
Well, you make sure you eat. Make sure you eat, because that's one of the big things they always say. And I made sure I ate. Make sure you eat at your wedding.
I will. I'm definitely going to be eating. But I'm just going to be so high off of adrenaline and happiness that I'm going to look like I'm drunk, but I'm not going to be.
Okay. Well, we'll have you have a couple drinks, but not too many, because we want you to be able to,
right,
you know, for your first time, we want you to be able to perform that night.
Yes. We're going to assume. We really don't want to know. We're going to assume. Just, we don't need any details the next day.
Your best man does not drink. So normally the best man makes up for the groom, you know, and he gets hammered. Now, I've done that before, and it's not pretty. But since he doesn't drink, I'm going to consider myself next in command. So I'm going to take advantage and be the groomsman that gets out of his mind drunk, probably. Is that all right?
That is fine.
Okay. And I already have myself and Andrew Flanagan, who was our guest a few weeks ago, already trying to compile a list of songs to request to embarrass you from the DJ. So we got that lined up.
Yes.
Mind you, there are some songs that we've told him that cannot play.
Oh, we will find ones that are not on that list that still will embarrass you.
He may have.
There's not many on that list.
Okay, very good, very good. So whether they be Chicago related, Disney related, we will find something to really set the mood and get things going. So and that's it, you know. And then we have the after party at the bar as well. So it's gonna be a heavy weekend. I took this past weekend off from alcohol because I knew it was gonna be loading up this weekend. Now, I'm really hoping. Wednesday night we have a playoff softball game. If we win that game, we don't play until 6:30 Sunday night. If we lose that game, we play at 2:00 on Sunday. So for my own well-being, I am hoping we win Wednesday night so I can fully recover from these 2 days before we have the softball playoff game. So I will be rooting for myself to win.
We all will.
Yes,
I will as well.
All right, Matt, do you have any closing thoughts here on your final moments on this podcast? Final time you'll be appearing as a single man. Oh, tell us about the honeymoon. Is it a surprise? What's going on there?
It's a Southern Caribbean cruise. I'm just hoping Emily doesn't deter me.
Emily is your mistress?
No, Emily is a tropical storm that's brewing down there currently.
He wanted to deter you somewhere in St. Kitts, but no. Actually, speaking of the drinking, sir, we're kind of your best man and then one of your other members of your wedding party does not drink as well.
He actually does drink a little bit, but not overly.
Not
he doesn't
too much,
do a lot.
Okay. Well, the rest of us that are kind of like the Bobby Heenan of the Horsemen, we're kind of like de factos. Of course, talking about myself and our other man, Dr. G, we will be supplanting some of the drinking as well. I know you had promised. I know you had said to me that you wanted us to do a car bomb round. If the bartender does can supply that, then you know that will go down as well. So we'll try and get as big a car bomb toast as possible.
Yes.
So
without a doubt.
Don't you forget about that. So it's going to be a good time. The day has finally come. I can't believe it. It was weird when the bachelor party was like 5 months away.
I know.
And now the wedding is 5 days away. So it's going to be it's going to be exciting, my friend. I'm very happy for you.
And, it's very surreal, and we're all done. We're all ready for it. There's really not much else that we can do.
Now, what did you say again the honeymoon was?
It's a Southern Caribbean cruise. It's 7 days. Oh, son of a bitch. If you're not careful, Justin, I'll have you singing this at the reception.
No, I've already. I know one of the songs we have to request is, of course, the Aerosmith "I Don't Want to Miss a Thing" because I think we need to get up and sing it again.
Yeah,
I'm hoping it's in the limo ride.
Oh, the limo ride—that may be good as well.
Oh. Yeah, but I'm not going to be in the limo. You have to do it at the reception.
Yeah,
too.
No, because Andy will be at the reception, Scott and yeah. G, and yeah, we got to do it at the reception. And all the other guys that were on the bus as well will be
there.
So.
Yes, exactly.
We're definitely going to have to break that out at some point. Now, are you having a videographer? Is Andre doing this?
Yes. Andre's doing it, yes,
Andre
he is.
Jean-Francois Productions.
Jean-Francois. Yes. Who did a
doing
wonderful job.
Videography and photography.
Very good. Yeah, he'll do a good job. He did a good job with mine. So now, is he actually doing it, or are his minions coming out to do it?
I believe he's coming.
Okay, very good.
As far as I know, I believe he is coming.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen him since my wedding, so I'm excited to see him. I'm probably more excited to see him than the actual wedding.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so any final thoughts then, Matt, or are you done here?
I'm all good.
You actually sound very awake. I'm very impressed. We thought you'd be a slobbering mess, but you did pretty good. You must be high on life because you're pretty hyped up right now.
Well, he's excited about the late night Chicago Yankee games.
That's right. Is the game is it over? Did they win yet?
Yeah, they won a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, figures they have to be playing this week.
While you're on, Mr. Otella, we'll talk more about it if you join us for our NFL preview. But what are your thoughts on your team's acquisitions this weekend, Albert Haynesworth and Mr. Ocho Cinco?
I think that it was very too low risk trades that we made. Albert Haynesworth was a fifth round pick. We traded a fifth round pick for him. If the guy plays up to his potential, that's a big if. He could be very dominating. But and Chad, I think we'll fall into line. I think he actually will be the steal. We gave up a fourth and a fifth round pick for him. So I think if everyone plays up to their talent level, we should be pretty damn good.
Hopefully Ocho Stinko plays up to his name.
Well, hopefully Plax right, brings out a gun at a club and he can deal with another...
No,
another
man, he's all rehabbed. He did his year in jail. Leave him alone. He's good.
Well, he's just adding to the criminal makeup of that team.
Oh okay.
All right.
Patriots are ones to talk.
You're one DOI away from it.
All right, enough. We don't want to spoil the fun for the preview podcast. All right. Well, MR, it was a pleasure to talk to you as always. I will see you in the morning in the office. And next week when we do our SummerSlam preview special, we will make sure to mention the highlights. And I'm sure there'll be a low light or two, of the festivities on Saturday. So enjoy the rest of your evening, and we will I will see you in the morning, and we will
I'll see your ass on Friday.
Yes. I'll see you then.
All right, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up then. We want to thank everyone. We hope you enjoyed our 50th episode. Of course, as Scott mentioned, we'll be back later this week with SummerSlam 91 and then next week with our big SummerSlam 2011 preview. So,
yes.
For my PIC, Scotty C, for Matt Rotella, Joseph Lee, and all our other friends, Todd Weber, of course, with his great speech, I am Justin Rosero. We will talk to you later this week. Thanks.
Peace.